sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends, grace to you and peace from Jesus Christ who raises the dead. Amen. First, quick preaching note. A memory I have from a workshop that I took some years back, Dr. Shauna Hannon came and talked to a bunch of preachers. She's a seminary professor in preaching, homiletics. And she came and she asked this group of us, when you preach, what do you expect to happen? What do you expect when you preach? And so the responses started out joking, you know, I expect people to fall asleep. got a little more serious. Oh, I expect people to learn something. I expect people to feel inspired. She's like, okay. She keeps asking the question, though. What do you expect? What do you expect? Finally, somebody in the room said, I expect that the dead will be raised. And she pointed, yeah. She called that answer out of us. Come out. God is going to do something with us here. Amen? God, it's got nothing to do with the preacher. But in this word, God is going to raise the dead here and now. Okay. What strikes me about this text this time is that Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life, not at the end, not after Lazarus is all raised and showered and fresh and alive, but when death is 4 days stinking and things are at their worst. He is, as Dr. Caroline Lewis points out, he is deader than dead. 4 days dead. Remember the Princess Bride? He's mostly dead. He's not all dead. Well, this Lazarus is all dead. Which, by the way, deader than dead fits the pattern in the Gospel of John. Through this rich Lenten season, we've seen these texts. He's deader than dead today. Last week, the man was blinder than blind. This is still Caroline Lewis. She points out, 38 years of life was longer than the average life, and he was blind that whole time. He was blinder than blind. The week before that, we had the woman at the well. She is edgier than edgy. I mean, marginalized, more marginalized than the most marginalized. She's a woman. She is a Samaritan, and she's married 5 times, and the one she's with now is not her husband. So, drier than dry. I mean, this is the wedding feast at Cana. Even Nicodemus was kind of loster than lost. Who would be more embraced or farther from God's embrace than a Pharisee, stuck in his ways, lifelong viewpoints? There is a theme, and each time Jesus responds to that one. And today is the grand finale of Jesus' 7 signs. In the Gospel of John, there's 7 signs, or some have called them miracles. These are always pointing, that's why I like signs better, pointing to God's glory. And if you weren't getting it through the wedding feast at Cana and the feeding of the 5,000, the walking on water, the healing, the blind man, all right, here it is now. Friends in Christ, Jesus isn't just with us in the banquet times, in the party times, in the family feast times, the packed houses, the full bellies, the joyful hearts. Jesus is with us through it all. This one who works all these miracles, these signs, he's with us in it all. With all that power, he's still with us. He doesn't just say, I'm the resurrection and the life at the sunny end, the glorious sunshine at the end. He says it right smack in the cloudy, cold, muddy middle. Maybe that describes your sense of these days. Maybe that describes how you're feeling. The cloudy, cold, muddy middle, deep in the valley. Shadows and fears all around, slogging through our days, anxious and angry, sad and afraid. If that's you, friends, know that you have a God who is here with you in it. And if that's someone close to you, be sure to tell them. This God, this one Jesus Christ, does several things with us in this cloud, cold, muddy middle. First of all, he weeps. Jesus weeps. What is that all about? Especially in the Gospel of John. I continually find Jesus to be completely in cool control. He's pouring out love for everyone, but we haven't seen him lose it. I mean, he's just always got it. He's with it, in control. After all, Jesus is all divine. Gospel of John, there's no question about this God, about this Jesus. All these signs, water to wine and blind man feeding the 5,000, walking on water, it all points to his divinity. So what's he crying about? He has the power to raise Lazarus. If I could do that, I don't think tears would be my issue. If we had dead-raising powers, I mean, we could be serious and stoic for a minute for dramatic effect, but we'd know we had a miracle up our sleeve. Deeply moved, it says Jesus is. Jesus weeps. The Greek, it's like his guts turn over. Ponder that this week. Ponder that in your cold, cloudy, muddy middle days, Jesus weeps over your pain and the pain of this world, the pain of loss, the grief that we experience. Jesus weeping points to his divinity also. We have a God who gets close. A God who so deeply and completely hears you, understands you when you're at your worst, who so deeply comes alongside, accompanies you, and loves you. Maybe that's what those tears are about. Have you ever gotten an insight into someone's difficult life and it just breaks your heart? You never saw it quite like that. That's a glimpse. Christ is right here, right smack in the middle of our pain, of our sorrow, of our fear, of our losses and our anxieties, and certainly of our tears. I am the resurrection and the life, Jesus says, not after the raising and the unbinding, but even before it, when things really, literally stink. 4 days dead, deader than dead, God is here, present, loving, weeping. And then the final sign. Hearken back to the first sign when Jesus turns the water into wine. It's chapter 2 of John. Remember this, Mary, who was there then, is here at the tomb as well. And she'll be at the cross as well. She said back at the wedding, do whatever he tells you. Remember that great line? Do whatever he tells you. She says this to the servants. Do whatever he tells you. As Jesus' seven signs unfold throughout John's narrative, Jesus is always giving a command. He's telling his sheep, his servants, his disciples to do something, whether that's fill the jars with water or take up your mat and walk or gather whatever food is left over or go wash in the pool of scent. That was last week. Today, he gives a command. Lazarus, come out. And then he commands others, unbind him and let him go. Let's heed Mary's advice, friends. Do whatever Jesus tells you. What is Jesus telling you? Come out. Unbind him. Unbind them. Let them go. Maybe that's yourself. Maybe that's in your own heart. Christ is calling you to let something that you've bound up, let it go. Why do whatever Jesus tells us to do? Because when we do what Jesus tells us to do, good things happen. That is, God's glory is revealed. When we listen, when we trust, then we see, then we walk, then we eat and drink the water of life, then we rise from the dead and finally understand. Even now, finally come to the light of truth, into the light, into the way, into the life. We're all sheep of the Good Shepherd, remember? Sometimes we go astray. God's going to love us and forgive us even when we fail and fall, even when we miss things, or that's understating it. Maybe we absolutely fail at listening, at trusting, at seeing and understanding. God's going to love us and forgive us despite all of that, but our life becomes abundant when we follow Mary's advice and do whatever Christ tells us to do. Today, that command is come out. Not only has Jesus given sight to the blind, that's a rich metaphor. Not only has Jesus given health to the sick, food to the hungry, and brought a crazy good party to the wedding feast in Cana, and to all our feasts and parties over the years, not only has God done these good things, not only has Christ done this, given us all this, he even raises the dead, even in this life, through our valleys, through our losses, through our pain, definitely through our tears. When our resources are dry, our spirits are dead, our hope is gone, Christ stands in front of your tombs and calls you out, orders you to unbind and set free whatever it is that's binding you and holding you back. Be unbound. You are free. Jesus gives you new life this day. Life abundant. Not just ventilator life. Not just a breathing machine. But family and friends and laughter and banquet tables and birds and rain and sunshine and trees and flowers and holy breath in your lungs and abiding joy in the air. This life is ours even now. This resurrection life is ours even in the mud, not just at the great feast that is to come. This resurrection and life is ours right now, right smack in the muddy middle, right here in our valley of the shadow of death. The shepherd is with us. Now that's something worth celebrating. That's not just a silver lining, that's the center. That's the center of our gathering. That's the center of our faith. That's the center of our hope. That's the rock in a weary land. That's the cross. Life over death. This life abundant, this abiding Jesus, this raising the dead, this coming out, this rock in a weary land is yours this day. And throughout all our days, all our valleys, and always. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. The evangelical? That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body...
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.